One, two, three, four, five. Welcome to the pre-show here. And this is what I had everybody, you know, get ready for the pre-show is what I was saying, right? Okay. Well, I thought I had really good news and I don't. And usually I would have good news. If I say I have news, I generally do. I don't think you can ever, you know, there's a lot of things you could probably complain about. But one of them is that if I say I've got news and I'm going to be announcing the news, I generally announce news. But actually, I don't have any news to announce. In fact, what I have is kind of quite the opposite of good news. What I thought I had was, you know, I thought I was going to announce to you that I was going to be doing two episodes of a what I was looking forward to doing, a great, great comedy series on television, you see. As it turns out, we were not able to, as they say in showbiz, work out the deal. Let's put it that way, okay? Let's just say that that's what it was. Let's just say that we had, you know, there was a, we couldn't close it, man. And I think that that's a great way of putting it. They're great people, and I respect everybody there, and I hope they respect me, and I just have to leave it at that. I thought I was going to be able to say to you, hey, you know, coming up over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be doing this, 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 and this, but it's not to be. And that's really the end of that, man. If I could tell you more, I would. And if I could tell you, for instance, the name of the show, I would. Specifically, the principles. In fact, if I was going to be moving forward with this, I would have told you all that. I would have told you the names of the actors that I was working with, the name of the show, and so forth. But out of respect to them, and you know, frankly, I don't want to have to answer a whole lot of questions. I won't mention any of that other than, you know, I'm really drag, you know, just kind of, it's a drag. I'm dragging. I'm bummed. I'm a bum dragon, whatever you want to call it, that, that thing ain't happening, man. So there it is, guys. I'm sorry that I had you. I probably should have, and maybe I still will. Cause you're hearing this after the fact. Maybe I still will put up some kind of a what the fuck is this show? Impractical Jokers. Is this just everything just as, Is it all candid camera? Is that the thing? Aren't you supposed to? You know that I got fucked for $50,000. I didn't get fucked. I mean, I got actually had to pay out in the state of Florida. My radio station and I did because of a recording that we had not edited, got the permission of the person before we recorded them. Now the law, as I understand it, because I've had this beaten into me, man, by a variety of attorneys, both working for radio stations and working for moi, is the following. Even before they say hello, you have to get their permission to be recorded. You have to tell them, and not just tell them, you have to say, is that okay? So you have to say, I'm going to be recording this. Is that okay with you? Because a lot of cats would get away with this back in the day. They'd say, hi, you're on the air and we're recording it. Now, let me just ask you about the fact that you sleep with 60 men. You know, and they thought that they were covered. And maybe at some point they were. But the law, as I understand it, and I have had no reason to test it. I would never test it because I don't need that kind of bullshit. I'm not that kind of a social, you know, I'm not conscientiously objecting to the law that says you need to get people's permission before you record them. I agree with that law. How can I disagree with it? I mean, I may be getting some unsuspecting people, but I don't know. I've never thought crank phone calling was as difficult as getting people to call you. I always thought that that was more fun. Anyway, as I was saying, there's a show on here on TBS called Impractical Jokers, and it looks to me like it's like a candid camera thing. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, forgive me. Forgive me. Is this Georgia? Is this the state of Georgia? Are they doing this in Georgia? You know. But anyway, so the law is, you know, you got to like, hello. You don't even have to say it. You say, hello, I'm going to be recording this. Is it all right if I record this? No. Okay. Then you have to say, all right, then I won't record it. And that is essentially the prescription. That's what's required. Now, if it comes out later that you did record it without their permission and you aired it, they have recourse to actually complain to the district attorney, whoever law enforcement is. It's a felony. It's a felony. Felony. Okay, in California it is. And I think it is in Florida. Now, having said that, there's one other little piece of news. If I record you without your permission anyway, And the content of that recording, it turns out, contains material of vital public interest. There is such a thing. Is it of public interest that this recording be heard? And this is a Supreme Court ruling that if the recording was made, even without the permission of the individual involved, it is, if it's of compelling public interest, it's okay. And not only is it okay, you can play it publicly. And what do we mean by compelling public interest? Maybe it's the admission of a murder. Maybe it's the commission of a crime in progress. Maybe it's somebody planning a crime. Maybe it's someone who has committed a crime and they're confessing to it. You know, any number of things amounts to compelling public interest. And that is actually a constitutionally valid reason for airing and even recording a conversation without that individual's permission. Now, it is interesting to note, you may say, well, how did you know when you started that recording without their permission there would be these? I didn't. And what if there wasn't? Then my ass would be in hot water. But I took the shot. I took the chance. I went ahead and recorded it without their permission. And some assholes may record somebody without their permission. They'll say, look at all this great shit I found. Turns out it's nothing. It's just some guy talking about how he likes to wear women's underwear. That's not of compelling public interest. That's a violation of that person's privacy. It may be funny. It may make for a great bit on a morning show, but it is not of compelling public interest. And therefore, that fucker, because he needed some material for his show, he gets his ass slapped with either a fine. And then, of course, there's civil damages, because just because the criminal court says to you, now you are, you know, hereby, you know, sentenced to this and that. Okay, that's all done. Well, guess what? Along comes the guy you recorded. Now he's filing a civil claim because you made him look like a fucking fool. And that motherfucker is going to take another pound of flesh out of you. So, you know, all of these things, keep these things in mind. I know I've had to. Now, having said all that shit, I have no idea what this show is. Impractical Jokers. But it looks really involved, like they've got a, what the fuck, they've got a panel of people, there's a little kid, I gotta turn this off, it doesn't look, I don't think it's gonna end well. So anyway, as I said, and I will repeat as many times as you need me to, the big announcement that I had is in point of fact no announcement at all. If things changed rapidly this afternoon, and events seized at the flood, have now, you know, it's the toilet's flood overflowed, or whatever. Here's The Haunting from 1963. All right, so that's the big news. I apologize. You know, the big news is there's no big news. Or I should say, there is no big news. What was the big news, Phil? The big news was going to be something that I can't say anything about. There is no big news. It's a drag. It's a bummer. You know, I don't dig it. Feels bad. But that's showbiz, you know, that is showbiz. And it's a crazy thing, man. You know, I was talking to Marie on the phone today and some friends. They said to me, you know, you went about as far as you can go in radio, man. I said, I did. You know, you're right. I said, I don't know if I was still in radio, what else I could do. I did. I went as far as I could go in the radio world. Doing what I did? Yeah. People don't really know, you know, I listen to people talking about how they like the old radio show. Well, I can sincerely ask you this question. If you liked the old radio show, where the fuck were you when the old radio show was on? Because we had a good audience, not a great audience. When I did Afternoon Drive at, let me put it to you this way. I did Afternoon Drive at KFI. I was doing some of the funniest shit I've ever done in my life. And we didn't bust a three share. We did not break a three share. I don't blame anybody for that. I don't blame me. I don't blame Dave. I don't blame the station. I don't blame anybody. Just that was the facts. So you, people can talk about how they loved the old show all they fucking want. The fact of the matter is we had not a big audience. And on top of that, it was difficult to draw advertisers because of that. It was difficult to get the show affiliated when it was national. And it was very interesting because this was at a time when we, you know, Howard Stern was happening and Bubba, all of the, what I would call the stylized entertainment personality radio shows were on the air. You know, I've said, and people have said jokingly, Phil Hendry, the guy that killed talk radio. I think I did. I'm serious. I think I did. I think we made callers. I think we made the format look so fucking stupid that there was a backlash of some kind. It was an angry, The callers got pissed. You know, the people were pissed. They didn't think, you know, the advertisers didn't want to go near it. It was all of a sudden, it was like, now what you have is controversial talk radio of one ideology and one ideology alone. And there are advertisers that don't give a shit about ad boycotts. They love that controversy. So you don't hear, at least I haven't listened, so I don't know, but I suspect you don't hear on today's right-wing radio big name advertisers. Bounty towels and Firestone tires and, you know what I'm saying, you know, Goodyear and Standard Union, you know, whatever. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. When I first got on the air in L.A., I did a remote at a place called the Green Burrito. It was a brand new restaurant that was affiliating with another restaurant. In those days, they would have these, and I guess they still do have restaurants that sort of are contained in a larger establishment. Green Burrito was a Mexican food restaurant inside of something else. And we did a remote, we did a signing. We did a CD signing. I don't know what the fuck we did. We didn't have any CDs. We just went out there and signed autographs and said hi. And I hadn't been on the air 3-4 months, and there were motherfuckers who were threatening to boycott Green Burrito because of what? Because of my comedy show? I was doing a comedy show. Threatening to boycott because I was doing a comedy show. So our show was never easy in terms of drawing an audience. And I, you know, when I talk about David Hall, that guy worked his fucking ass off trying to get our show to integrate at KFI. And there were a lot of good people, you know. There were a lot of lazy motherfuckers, but there were a lot of really good people. Amir Forster was another one. She was our public relations person at Premier Radio. You know, Craig Kitchen, I don't know. You know, at the end of the day, Craig was a company guy. He liked the show, but he was a company guy. And Craig Kitchen said to me once in my office, I'm going to be there when they induct you into the Radio Hall of Fame. Guess who's on the board of the Radio Hall of Fame? Craig Kitchen. I don't give a fuck, personally. But I honestly don't. I could go to my death without, because I got other things that I want to do with my life now. And I haven't been on the radio in 6 years. But I'm just saying this, you know, because I get these comments every now and again. You know, somebody just sent me a message that said, I miss the old show. You mean you listened? You know, we had good hardcore fans back then. I know who they were. And some, of course, I don't know everybody that listened. But it's like Woodstock. If everybody who claimed to have been at Woodstock actually had been there, there would have been like 2 million fucking people at Woodstock, right? And so it goes to the Phil Hendry show. If every person I ever met listened to the show who claims they listened to the show, we would have had a goddamn 50 share, you know? It's all right. Because like I said today to friends of mine, I said, I took the show as far as I could fucking take it on. I don't know where the fuck else we were going to go with it. I don't know how far we were going to go with it. And my life at that time was another factor. You know, all kinds of, everybody's life factors into everything that they do. My life was factoring into what I was doing too. But I got no regrets, man. I don't know what else we would have done with that radio show. Other than perhaps maybe, I've often said maybe I should have taken a more active hand in the business side of things. Maybe I should have taken a more active hand in the marketing and advertising side. Maybe I should have been a pain in the ass. Maybe I should have been. As it turns out, nobody likes a pain in the ass. Nobody likes somebody who's a pushy motherfucker. And I probably was already too much of a pushy motherfucker when it just came to the show itself. I let everybody do whatever they wanted to do. But when it came to my show, I was like almost like Adolf Hitler. And that probably rubbed some people the wrong way. So what are you going to do, man? If I was like that with the show, how do you think I was going to be when it came to affiliating it, advertising, and so forth? And that's a big roll of the dice, man. That's a big roll of the dice. Because if you're right, you hit if you're wrong, you've just burned every fucking bridge that you ever had. So I think I made the right decision. You know, I left certain areas of the business to the people who are I was expert at what was good on the radio, and I did that. And that's the end of that, man. And that was that was almost like 40 years. That was almost 40 years on the button, man. 40 fucking years on the button. June 1973 to June 2013. 40 goddamn years. I mean, I started on the radio, professional broadcaster, in June of 1973. I was just turned 20. No, I was 20. So that means I am our just turned 60, right? June, yeah. Yeah. And then we did a few more, I think we did a few more months with Ron's company, but I mean, I really put, you know, the definitive end of radio of the Phil Hendry, I think the end of the Phil Hendry radio career, in my opinion, came in June of 2006, which would have made it 33 years. Yeah, that would have been a far nicer number, you know. That's where that's at. And today we do this. And you know, and I push out doing voiceover. And I push out doing acting. I don't know where that's going to go. I really don't. I don't know what's going to happen with the acting end of Phil Hendry. And what are we talking about? Are we talking about animation? What are we talking about there? The big announcement to bring this all the way back to center square, the big announcement was going to be, hey, I'm on this show for a couple of episodes, and here are the people that are in the show, and it's a great show. I'm not going to tell you about my character or anything. I can't do any of that, but I will tell you, you know, how excited I am. But we were not able to close that, so there you go. Is all that we see or seem but a dream within a dream? Edgar Allan Poe. Is all that we see or seem but a dream? Is all that we see or seem? Is all that we seem? Oh, that means self. Okay. Okay. Now, as I remember, this movie was in black and white. Wait a minute. What's the name of this fucking movie? This flick is called The Fog. Hal Holbrook, Adrian Barbeau, Tom Atkins, Janet Leigh. Californians are haunted by the corpses of a 100-year-old shipwreck. I remember this movie. Bitchin'. Right out here in the Channel, Channel Islands is, well, out here in the Santa Barbara Channel are some islands called the Channel Islands. And over 100 years ago, that's right, over 100 years ago, right out here in the Channel, a ship ran aground, and it was on its way to San Francisco, and it had come from, I think, New York. And in those days, before the Panama Canal, you had to go and do the whole thing, man. You went down the coast of South America, and you went around the Horn, as Captain Bly called it there, with in the person of Anthony Hopkins in the Bounty. Around the Horn is the quickest way, the better way, and that is the way we'll go. That is the south and tip of South America. And so you went around that goddamn thing because it was very stormy. It's always been known as a very stormy and very rough sea. And these people went around the Horn and they made it all the goddamn way up the coast of South America and all the way up the coast of Mexico and all the goddamn way up Southern California until they get to where Phil lives. And they run aground in a fog. I think it was a fog. Right out here on Santa Cruz Island, which is right here in the Channel Islands, just like almost a dead shot straight across from our beach. And I don't know if there's any fatalities or what, but the captain and the people on the ship noted fires burning on the shoreline. Not fires, but they were campfires. In other words, there was a sign of human life. And they were the probably Chumash Indians. And there might have been, I think there was even an army. Some sort of an armory, some sort of an army installation where they had the dragoons, you know, the guys on horseback, somewhere along the coast. But they were eventually contacted and I think rescued by some of these people from the coast here. Whatever the hell was in Ventura County in 18... I gotta look that up, man. Channel Islands shipwrecks. List of shipwrecks in the Channel Islands. This ought to be bitching. Look at this, man. This published as early as... Channel Islands, California. I don't want the goddamn England. Fuck, they're giving me England. Fuck that. I'm kidding. California, motherfucker. Channel Islands, California. Channel Island shipwrecks. Okay. Well, I can't get the fuck out of Dodge, man. What are you talking about? The Winfield Scott. That's the one. Okay, there we go. That's the baby. Is this the one? Yes, here it is. The discovery of gold in California in 1848 brought thousands of fortune seekers from the East and around the world to meet this new demand for travel and resources. Shipping and maritime activity increased dramatically. Sailing ships and steamers carried people, food, and supplies up and down the coast from the eastern United States. A typical voyage from New York to San Francisco brought passengers first to Panama, and once there, it often took over a month for another ship to arrive and take them up the Pacific seaboard. So they'd go across the isthmus. In 1847, two steamship companies connecting New York with San Francisco and the Oregon Territory and charged primarily with the important task of delivering mail were subsidized by the federal government. The Steamship Company and the Pacific Mail Steamship Company acquired many steamships to travel the Panama route. Independent steamship companies competed with the mail steamships, M-A-I-L, by promising shorter voyages. To reach their destinations more quickly, ships often risked navigating the narrow Santa Barbara Channel rather than traveling around the Channel Islands. Aha! Between 1850 and 1900, at least 33 ships were wrecked in the Channel. One of these ships, the Winfield Scott, still lies beneath the clear waters of Channel Islands National Park. The large steamship sank off the shores of Anacapa in 1853. Anacapa is a very thin little island, well known for its sea lion population. They're all out there. You can go out there any given day, and they're all out there. It's all barking at you. Hundreds of them. Hundreds and hundreds of sea lions. The Winfield Scott was owned by the Pacific Mail Steamship Company, loaded with over 300 passengers and crew. And so dig that, man. That's why they crashed or ran aground. Excuse me. You know, you got the coast of California. You got the Channel. You have the Channel Islands. And then you have the Pacific Ocean. And coming up the coast, just go the hell around the damn Channel Islands, keep on going to San Francisco, wherever you're going. But these dudes decided, let's just kind of cut between the two motherfuckers, you know? Here's the coast, here's the islands, we'll just kind of go, yoo-hoo! We'll do a Captain Bly, you know? We'll outrun them, you know, we'll outrun the war canoes, you know? And it'll be a beautiful thing, see? We'll cut off maybe a day. I don't know how much fucking time they would save, but, well, guess what, me bucko? The Winfield Scott was owned by the Pacific Mail Steamship Company. Do we have an old seat?
Yes, well, that was a time.
The Winfield Scott, that was a time. Christ, let me tell you.
Yeah, that was a time. It was an old time. Well, I don't know. There was an old time ship, that they had.
Captain Ron Corsica, Captain Ron Corneal. Ron, Ron's from the El Pacifico Yacht Club. How you doing, Ron?
Hey, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. So, Ron, what happened in those days?
Well, what happened was you had hey, Phil, thanks so much for keeping me in the loop. That's all I can ask for, you know. I can't ask for anything more.
I kind of fucked up that part about the, oh, cool. This looks like a young Ed Norton is about to get gutted by a ghost, by one of the fog-bound ghosts. Steve Loomis. What? Did the costumes. Testing 1, 2, 3. It is. It's a young Ed Norton. Was he in the fog? Was he a very young Ed Norton? This actor looks exactly like Ed Norton. Like a young Ed Norton. The great actor who's got to be like, Ed Norton ain't no spring chicken anymore, right? I mean, he's 10 years young. Maybe he's 10 years younger than me. What do you think, huh? Anybody want to take a guess? Anybody give a shit? No, okay, thanks. All right. Now then, what the fuck is today? Friday, motherfucker? What else do I got to do here? Did I already do the goddamn... I don't fucking know, man. This thing is driving me nuts, man. What is this? Look at this. This is interesting. I always like to see pieces of equipment just laying around, you know? It's... Where is... What? What? It couldn't be, but I mean, it did. The first actor that I saw on screen looked like a young Ed Norton, and... I don't know what happened to him because I was messing around. He probably got gutted. He probably had a gaff hook thrown into him from 150 years ago. That lousy, stinking. Look at the punk. He's laughing at me. He's laughing at me. Oh, yeah, we're groovy. We're groovy, man. I already did bet online. All right. Whatever happened to Adrian Barbeau anyway, man? Drinking and driving. We got attacked by some ghosts and shit. Here it is. Here the fuck it is. Wait a minute. No, I didn't. I did not send these. Motherfuck. All right. Well, okay. So the only one I'm a fan of here is Pluto TV.